This morning, we're going to come as we are because dinner is served. Isn't that a good feeling? Isn't that a good sound? We have an invitation from the Holy Spirit to come as we are. Dinner is served. Can you smell the food cooking? Can you imagine it? What's your favorite? The turkey? The mashed potatoes? The pumpkin pie? The ham? The green beans? The dessert? How about the dinner rolls? The bread? Okay. That's what I'm talking about. The what? The biscuits and gravy. And the what? The cranberries that are shaped like the can that you slice. I don't know if they're that aromatic, honey. I'm just stretching this one right here. That was maybe they smell. I don't know. Okay. But I'm just telling you, there was a time that I had winter allergies, and it would start in October and go till about March, April.
And I sounded like this all the time, and I couldn't smell, and I couldn't taste.
And I'm telling you, that is a stinking ripoff. When you can't taste or smell, it is such a ripoff. I said, you know, I might as well be eating liver. You know, seriously, you might as well be. Because you can't taste, and that's supposed to be like healthy or something. I don't know. But it's such a bummer if you can't smell or taste. Can I get an amen? Now, smell is a gift. And I think, how many times do we actually say, thank you, Lord, for the gift of smell? Yesterday I was doing the lawn, and I was cleaning up after the dog. So it's not always a gift, I'm saying. Not always is it a gift to be able to smell. But most of the time, it's a gift. And I get happy with good smells. It's the aromatherapy. And taste. Oh, taste is good. The Word of God says in Psalms 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. We sang about His goodness this morning, His faithfulness to all generations. How blessed is the man or woman who takes refuge in the Lord. I need you. Every hour, I need you. You're my refuge. You're my safe place. I'm going to need an amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're going to need a supernatural touch. Holy Spirit, we need a supernatural touch of our senses today in order to taste and see that you are good. Would you open the eyes of our understanding? Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are. You satisfy us. You are very pleasurable. And I pray, God, that you would take every one of us up notches. Take us higher in you and the understanding of you. Be glorified in this place. Soften our hearts to receive. Open our hearts. In this place, Jesus Christ, we lift you up. You're the only one. You're the one and only. You are a good God, and you are worthy to be praised. Lord, let our lives be so lived that you will be praised by what we think, by what we do, by what we say, by all that concerns us. Let us live our lives to honor you, Most High. You are most honorable. King of kings, Lord of lords, judge of all. We worship you now. We praise you now. We ask for your anointing, Lord. That's your backing. That's your presence. Fill our hearts, Lord. We are hungry. We lift our little plates and our cups to you and say, fill us, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Our text today is Psalms 23:5. I'm going to read it in different translations this morning. I want you to get this. It says in the Message translation, you serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. I'll tell you, I am so stirred up and emotional about the truth of this message. I need some of you to pray for me to not be a blubbering little girl this morning, because I'm just passionate and I'm filled with the joy of the Lord who has sustained me, who has filled me up to overflowing with His joy, His strength, His comfort, His peace. So pray that I just don't, you know, they say that a good Holy Ghost service and meeting is sponsored by Kleenex. They say that it's a Holy Ghost meeting, that the sponsor is going to be Kleenex. But this morning I want to really hold it together, so keep me in your prayers. Today the Lord invites us. He says, just come on, come as you are. He compels us. He longs for us to come and feast at what He has prepared for us. He says, just come. Come on. You know, my Grandma Gertie, after we got to be adults, her grandkids got to be adults, the way to get us to come by and see her more often was to invite us all to have a meal with her. We wouldn't pass up that. We wouldn't pass up the fellowship, but my grandma used to have a restaurant. Need I say more? Grandma Gertie could cook it up back in Minnesota. Yeah, sure. She could cook it up. And what she would do is she knew all of our favorites. She knew my favorite. She knew Lauren's favorite. She knew Palma's favorite. She knew Joel's favorite. She knew Bob's favorite. She knew Amber's favorite. She knew all the cousins' favorites. And so when we got invited to eat, she made it all. And it was all different. All the meats, all the desserts, all the side dishes. It was like the restaurant. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking. It was Thanksgiving when we went to Grandma Gertie's. And then she would say, now, I don't want any help with the dishes. And I mean, the pots and pans were just stacked up high, because I'd rather fellowship with you. I have all day and I got tomorrow to do the dishes. I just want to be with you. Wow. I have such visuals of that. And that's what the Lord has for us today. It's going to be tailor-made, special touches, specifically for you. He knows just what you like. He has you in mind. And He's not expecting us to get all dressed up, put that stiff shirt and that stiff little dress on and not have fun and we can't spill and we can't play. He says, no, you don't need to put on your dress clothes. Just come as you are. The important thing is that you just come. Just come. He said, bring a huge appetite and plan to stick around for the fellowship. He wants to just be with us. Just be with us. Be with us. He said, if you're weary, come and be hungry for rest. If you're broken, come with a hunger and a desire to be made whole. If you feel guilty, if you're guilt-laden, come to His feasting table to eat of His forgiveness and His unconditional love. If you're hurting, come and taste of His grace to bring you peace and comfort. If you're angry and bitter, come. He said you're going to find deliverance and you're going to find freedom. Those things torment you. Just come to the table. Just come. Come as you are. Dinner is served. The Living Bible says Psalms 23:5 this way, you, and I added, Lord God, my Father, you provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemy. You have welcomed me as your guest with blessings that overflow. Our enemies, my enemies, your enemies, they're evil forces. And those evil forces are here to torment us, mock us, imprison us, condemn us, keep us in addictions. Ephesians 6:12 says, this is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We are wrestling with rulers and authorities, the powers who govern this world of darkness, and spiritual forces that control evil in the heavenly world. Our enemy is Satan and his demonic forces, not people. People are not our enemy. Hear me. Okay, that family member, that's not your enemy. You need to hear me. We aren't each other's enemy. What happens is, when people are pre-Christians, those are people who have yet to come into the revelation of Christ's love and accept Him. So pre-Christians, people that have yet to surrender their hearts and lives, pre-Christians are those who will act unkind. They have yet to walk in God's grace and love. They will do evil things. They will say evil things. They will do mean things under the power and influence of evil. Not good. Okay? But it's the evil, not the person. It's what they are under the influence of. Okay? Do this. We need to go, okay, I'm getting it. I tell the girls in Bible study, have you ever seen grandma's car, in the back of her car, or sometimes in the front of her car, she has that little dog or kitty that has that bouncing head? When she drives, that little bouncing head. How many know what I'm talking about? The little bouncing head. Okay, Okay, so I want you to give me a little on this morning. I'm getting it. Okay. So it's the person who's under the influence, not of good, not of God, but of evil. So it's the evil. It's that power that we wrestle against. Okay? We are praying for them to come into relationship with Christ, that He would dwell in their hearts, that they would have the mind of Christ. The Lord says and makes it clear that it's in the presence of our enemies, the enemies of this sinful world, the enemies of our soul. It's in that place that He provides rest, solace, hope, deliverance, joy. He allows a place where we can overcome and just feast of His goodness. That's where His abundance flows, at the table of plenty. One of my life verses is found in John 10:10. Out of the Amplified, it says, the thief comes only in order to kill. First of all, it says to steal, then to kill, and to destroy. Good news is coming. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's what Jesus offers us in relationship with Him. Amen. We're going to be doing a rap by the end of this. I'm feeling it coming on, you guys. I'm going to be doing it. Here again, Psalms 23:5. Hear it again. Good Word Translation said, you prepare a banquet for me while my enemies watch. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Hear the theme? Overflow. 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 Okay. This month, especially on Thursday, we'll be giving a day to pause and focus on things that we're thankful for. Most of us will gather at a table to eat and fellowship. But I wanted to insert a little announcement here. If you don't have family in town or you aren't planning on getting together with anybody, I'm going to tell you, now you do, because we have a gal in our church who has a heart that's made of gold, and she loves to reach out to people. And she has put out the offer to have anyone who is going to or was planning on being alone to join her at 2 o'clock for lunch at her home. Candace, will you just wave? So that's our Heart of Gold gal, and she would love to let you know where she lives, and you can feast it up with her. Do not be alone. Okay? She's already got folks coming, and she just wanted to extend that invitation out. So do not be alone. No one left behind. We all want to eat at the table of plenty together in fellowship. The Lord has provided a 6-course dinner for us. So let's get ready to partake. Are you ready? Thanks. T-H-A-N-K-S. This would be a good time to get that handout out. And remember, we're going to fill them out, and then we're going to... Say again? Huh? Live it out. Good, 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 good. Your first T. T on your handout. One thing that I am so thankful for, and I think all of us could just do endless lists when it comes to giving thanks to our Heavenly Father. But the first T, I want you to put down touch. touch. I am thankful for God's touch. Do you know that one touch, just one touch from the healer, and you'll never be the same? There's no limit to the number of times you can reach out and touch him or call upon his name or ask for him to meet your needs. He's there. An old chorus says it this way. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know. He touched me. He made me whole. And since I've met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I will shout it while eternity rolls. There it is. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Now I know. He touched me. And he made me whole. Matthew 9:20-22 talks about a woman in a crowd where Jesus was that had an issue. And this is how it goes. Then a woman came. She came up behind Jesus and she touched the edge of his clothes. She had been suffering from chronic bleeding for 12 years. That was her issue. She thought, if only I can touch his clothes, I'll get well. When Jesus turned and saw her, he said, "Cheer up, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And at that very moment, the woman became well. Awesome. Just stir up. Dial up your faith. I just got to touch just your clothes, Jesus. I just need to touch you today. I've got an issue. And I haven't had this issue for a long time. I got to touch you. May your faith be stirred up. Your faith in his power. H. I'm also thankful for the hands. H is hands. Provision is made complete through his hands. All my needs are met through his riches. His hands reach down and pull me out of my pit. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? No. Do you really know what I'm talking about? No. I'm talking about a pit. A dark, stinky pit. Anybody know that one? Pretty deep and dark, buddy. A pit of despair pit. A dungeon pit. A well gone dry pit. That kind of a pit. He took me out of that kind of a place and he pulled me up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. That's the hands that reach down. Jehovah Jireh says he's my provider. Philippians 4:19 says, "And it is he who will supply all of your needs." Say all. What part of all don't we understand? All of my needs according to his riches that have been done through what Christ Jesus did on the cross. His hands that bled and were crucified, that made provision, complete provision for me. Wow. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it with your grace. You spread a table out before me. You made provisions in the midst of the attack of my enemies. Okay? He makes provision in the midst of the attack of our enemies. You care for all my needs. You anoint my head with a soothing, fragrant oil. You fill my cup again and again and again with your grace. That was another version of Psalms 23:5. In ancient Eastern culture, at a banquet, it was customary to anoint a person with fragrant oil as they came to be your guest. It was to refresh and to rejuvenate them. Hosts were also expected to protect their guests at all costs. Do you know that the Lord of hosts, God, does the same thing? He offers us protection. He anoints my head. He refreshes me. He revives me. I see a little of this. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. In his presence. God, the perfect shepherd and host, he promises to guide me, protect me through this life, and to bring us to our home, our everlasting home, our heavenly home. He's going to take us there someday. I got to pause and ask, is anybody homesick for heaven? I am. I am. I'm very homesick for my beloved and to be with him forevermore for 10,000 times 10,000 endless years. Are you thankful for his hands of protection and provision? You've known him. Next, I want to thank the Lord for A. What could it be? What could it be? Arms. Arms. I'm thankful for arms. God's arms. Now I ask you, when you're hurting, I'm hurting. Physically, emotionally, you're hurting. Do you want a handshake? Just asking. Do you want a fist bump? Or do you want me to hold you? Do you want a hug? Do you want some arms? Yeah. Okay. We might be the kind of people that we draw that little safety thing like, don't get in my space. Okay. Okay. I don't want your, like I'm a germophobic and I don't want you to, space. But when I'm really grieving and I'm really hurting, there's a loss. There's something that just has ripped my heart out. I want you to throw your arms open. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a Savior who throws his arms open, who hugs me. His arms also carry me. Anybody been there? Two of you have been there. The rest of you are going to be there. It's just a matter of time. You'll be there. You may have heard this poem. It may be familiar to you. But if there's just one of you that have never heard this poem, I want you to hear it today. One night I had a dream. I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonging to me, and one, the other set, belonging to the Lord. When the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that many times along the path of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and the saddest times of my life. This really bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about it. Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, why would you leave me? The Lord replied, "My precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering and heartache and hardship and despair and hopelessness and worry and anger and resentment and not understanding the why, when you saw one set of footprints, it was there that I was carrying you. I'm going to ask you to be bold right now. If you have ever been carried like that, would you stand up? Would you stand up if you can say to me, I know what it's like to have him carry me. I have seen that there were one set of footprints in the sand. He carried me with his everlasting arms. There was no other way I would have made it. No other way. I am
thankful for the arms that carry me. Hallelujah. Praise Him. Lord, we praise You right now for those arms that reached down and You carried me when I couldn't carry on. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory that You were there. That You are there. That You will be there because You are the same yesterday, right now, and tomorrow. You will never fail us. Lord, we put a stake in the ground today that says we remember when You carried us or that You are carrying us. So we're not going to forget that no matter what tomorrow holds, no matter what happens in this world, You will not fail us. You will carry us and keep carrying us because of who You are. Because of who You are. Because of who You are. You're a good, good Father. That's who You are. And I'm loved by You. That's who I am. Amen. 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 And amen. You may be seated. Deuteronomy 33, 26 through 27 in the Living Bible says, "There is none like the God of Jerusalem. He descends from heaven in His majestic splendor." He does that to help you. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He thrusts out your enemies before you. It is He who cries, "Destroy them." That's our God. That's our God. I'm saying, get excited. Just get excited. Praise God for carrying you. Amen. Okay. Time for a little anatomy. And I know you're trying to figure out what on earth could N be? What's N going to be? Ooh, I wonder. Okay, well, what part of the anatomy is a conduit that supplies blood to the brain, air to my lungs, food to my stomach, movement to my body, my larynx? What is it? Nose. Conduit. Close. It's really close. It's really close. Okay? What is it? Neck. N is neck. Give yourself a high five if you got it right. Neck, neck, neck. Okay. When I studied and I considered the function of our neck, and I paralleled it to the Savior, it was fascinating. The neck contains several blood vessels that allow the blood to reach to the head and the brain. The neck contains the trachea and part of the esophagus, which allow air and food, water to reach the body. The neck also contains the spinal cord, which controls body movement and is connected to the brainstem in the neck. What beautiful symbolism lies in the thought that our natural neck does what my Jesus does. There was a chasm. Sin left us without a way to get to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus was a conduit. He was the way to get to the Heavenly Father. No one comes to the Father except by Jesus. Amen. Amen. His blood reaches to my body and gives me life. He brings food and water to me. He sustains me with His air, His oxygen. The Holy Spirit comes to control me. My actions, my movements, my thoughts, my words. Acts 17:28 says, "For in Him we live and move and have our being." Now, I've heard it said, in a home, the husband is the head. Have you, any of you heard that the husband is the head in the home? Okay, but I just got to add this. Girlfriends, you're already with me. Okay, you're already with me. But the wife is the neck that turns the head. Amen. Amen. Just, that's a pause. That's a sila. That's a think on it. Okay, the guy's the head, but the girls move it because they're the neck. Okay, just thought I'd add that because some of you needed to kind of wake up there a little bit. Where would we be without our conduit? Where would we be without Jesus to bridge the gap to the Heavenly Father, to supply us with life, air, food? Thank you, Jesus. K. Any idea what K is? I know you're afraid to say it now. You're just like, I'm not saying it. Who knows where she's going? What? You know,
I thought about that. But when I thought about knee was when I thought of an N-word. I'll just let the rest of you think about that. And then my blonde brain said, oh, that starts with a K. So it wouldn't work for the N-word. But no, I'm thankful for knees, because that tells me Jesus is interceding and praying for me, John. That's what I like about my knees. I think of him bowing and praying. I'm thankful for my Heavenly Father's kisses. Okay? Kisses. Because his kisses make it all better. It symbolizes how personal he is, how intimate he is, how much he loves and he cares for me. His kisses go right to my owie. Okay, stay with me. When a little one has an owie, a boo-boo, do they want you to pat their head, rub their back, fist bump, high five, even a hug, handshake? What does the little one want when they have an owie? Because why? Makes it all better. Okay? He makes it all better. That's how caring he is. Luke 15:11-32 is the chapter in the Bible that talks about a prodigal son. There was a man that had two sons. And the younger one said, I want my inheritance now, not when you die. I want it now. His father said, okay. The younger son, he wanted to go live recklessly. He wanted to party hardy. And that he did. Before long, he was broke, homeless, and hungry. And he found himself in a pig pen, literally, the story tells us. In the pig pen, eating what the pigs eat. And it said he remembered that his dad's servants had shelter and food. They had it better. The servants of his dad had it better than he did right at that moment. It says in Luke 15:20, and when the son came to his senses, he arose from that pig pen and he came to his father. But when he was still a ways off, when he was far away, his father saw him coming and he had great compassion. And that father ran, didn't wait, like, I wondered how long it would take you. We've been wondering. No. Compassion. Joy. He thought his son had died. His son was alive and he saw him and he ran. The word says he ran and he fell on his neck and kissed him. The most intimate thing. The Lord's compassions never fail. His mercy triumphs over judgment. That's his Bible. He'd rather be merciful than judge us. He'd rather give us another chance. That's why his Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. They're just right there to follow me. That's my God. That's my God. That's your God. Surely, goodness, mercy. He runs. He runs full speed ahead. He embraces us. He kisses us. Oh, such love. Amen. S. We've come to S. S is supper time. Supper time. I'm thankful. I am thankful that he calls me to dinner with him. I'm thankful for food and fellowship and relationship building. Pastor Tim and I just got to spend a few days in Alabama with our daughter and her kids for our 40th wedding anniversary. And when Daddy had worked, our son-in-law had worked all day and it was dinner time, we all came together at the dining room table, at the big table. And we would take turns telling what we did that day, a highlight of our day, what we learned that day. And so we've got a little 3-year-old, 7-year-old, and 9-year-old grandkids, and I talk about precious. Well, I did puzzles today, and I played hide and go seek with grandma and grandpa today, and we blew bubbles today, you know, but daddy was getting to hear about their day. And then they got to choose who was the next one to share. And then they shared, and then they got to choose who the next one was to share. And we would share our day, share what we had done. It was fellowship. It was fun to just eat together and enjoy and hear things that we learned, things that they learned at school. Our Heavenly Father's no different. Revelation 3:20 says, now, pay attention. I'm standing at the door of your heart and I'm knocking. If any of you hear my voice and you open the door, then I will come in and I will visit you. I will share a meal at your table and you will be with me. Some versions say, I will fellowship with you. I will restore you. Today, the invitation is for all of us. Come as you are. Come and touch me. Experience the hands of my provision. I meet all of your needs. Let me comfort and carry you with my arms. Allow my life-sustaining blood, air, food, and water to completely heal you. Don't allow Satan to choke you to death, to overtake you. You submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. James 4:7 out of the Voice translation says, so submit yourselves to the one true God and fight against the devil. Fight against his schemes. And it says, if you will do this, the enemy is going to flee. But you know, we're in a battle. It's not like a battle, in case you hadn't figured that out. It's a real battle. But you resist what Satan says. You resist his attempts. You say, get your claws off of me. I am a child of the Most High God. You get this word in you so you know how to fight the good fight of faith. Lord, tenderly, he kisses intimately. He touches me where it hurts. I'm thankful. Let's thank God for the delicious meal he's prepared. Thank him that he's revived us and he's blessed us so much. Could you bow your heads and hearts, please? You served me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revived my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Could we stand, please? Father, we have come into this place. You have brought every single one of us. It was not by mistake that we just happened to drive into this parking lot and walk into this building. There was no one forcing us. It was a choice we each made because you drew us. Whether we recognize that or not, the truth is, you drew us to this place. You had a message of hope, healing, to touch our hearts today. And that you have done. You have been faithful to do your part. Now there comes a time of decision. What am I going to do, Almighty God? What am I going to do? Am I going to partake? Am I going to give you my cares? Am I going to allow you to heal my pain, my wounds, my diseases? At this time, as Pastor and I just prayed about how to close this service, I couldn't imagine a one of us, not any age, I couldn't imagine a one of us coming to this place, this faith place, this family, this household of faith, and not having a need. So we decided we were going to open up these altars for all of us to come to the table. Because there's not a one of us, and if we think that we don't need God, that is pride. That is the greatest resistor that says, I can do this by myself. I don't need you. I don't need your strength. I don't need your counsel. I don't need your wisdom. I don't need your touch. I'm good. I got this one. I got this one, God. He said he resists the proud, but he gives a lot of grace to the humble. We're opening up these altars right now for every one of us to make a step to come to the table. And as you do and you line up, Pastor is going to touch you with
oil. Oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God, His power, His touch. He's just going to simply touch your hand, symbolic, and allow the Holy Spirit to work His will in your heart, in your life. So I'd like you to come at this time, the invitation to come as you are. Each of us come to the table, come to this place to receive from Him now.
If you have a need, just make a line right across the front, all the way across these altars, and we'll come and I'll come and anoint you with oil. But whatever your need may be this morning, just bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord.
This is where we say, Lord, I have to have you. I have to have you in my life. I'm confused. I need you. I'm hurting. I need you. When we step out, it's saying, Lord, if I could just touch you, if I could just touch you, you'd give me wisdom. If I just touched you, I know you'd heal me. If I just touched you, your guidance would be there. If I just touched you, I know you'd make it better. Pastor's going to come. You can raise your hands. This is between you and the Lord. You can say, fill my cups. Fill my cup. Fill my hands. Fill my heart. Fill me with your joy. Fill me with the presence of your power and love. And I'll tell you what, the enemies of our soul are watching as we have made a step. We have said, I need you, Jesus Christ. And the enemy is saying, no, don't go. You don't need God. You got this one. But when we make this step to say, on the contrary, I need you. Every hour I need you. Every moment that I'm awake, every breath that I take, I need you. The enemy is now watching and saying, oh, they're giving their life once again. They're surrendering once again. They're yielding. They're submitting. They're reaching out to the Most High. That's what this step says. It says to the enemy of your soul, you can't have me. You get your wretched hands off of me. Get your hands off of my marriage. Get your hands off of my relationships. Get your guilt off of my heart, because Jesus said he bore my guilt on the cross so I didn't have to anymore. I'm a new creature in Christ. You are giving the enemy a blow. This is a fight of faith, beloved. And it matters. This step matters. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's nothing like the mention of that name. There's nothing like the power of your name to heal the broken heart. And you know right where we are this morning. You go ahead and you breathe that name. Breathe Jesus with me. Jesus. Jesus. Let your lips declare, Jesus, I need you. Jesus. Jesus. Satan hates the name. He trembles, and his demons are powerless when you use the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus. Jesus. Fill me today. If you mean it, He'll do it. Kiss, kiss us, Lord. Kiss us where it hurts. That heart it's just pulverized, Lord. I'm crushed. I'm so glad that your word says that you are near to the brokenhearted. Broken hearts are a magnet for the presence of the healer. You are in good company. You're in good company when you're broken before Him. Thank you for the arms that reach down, the hand that picks me up, and the arms that embrace me and comforts. The Holy Spirit was left to bring comfort and conviction. Conviction so that we would know how to please and serve and live for God. And with that, He gives us hope. Praise Him for the hope. Praise Him that He's our conduit that brings life. If it were not for His blood shed, where would we be? His blood made the sacrifice complete. No longer were there need be for animal sacrifices, the shedding of animals' blood. Jesus' blood paid it all. All to Thee I owe. Thank you. Thank you that you're the air I breathe. Thank you that you're my oxygen. Thank you that in you I move and have my being. Thank you that you call us to sup with you, to fellowship with you, to dine with you. You want to hear about our day. You want to hear about the things that we're concerned about. You just said, come and be with me. Just like hang out with me. Just be with me. Come, all you are weary, you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, I'm going to come alongside of you. Sometimes we'll walk together, and sometimes I'm just going to carry you. I'm just going to carry you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. And I want to speak to someone that may be in this place this morning that says, I've yet to cross that line. I'm kind of a pre-Christian. I have yet to say, come into my heart and life, and I want to make opportunity for you right now. If that's you, I want you to just repeat after me. And I'd like all of us to do this in support. Please repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you. Every hour, I need you. Every moment that I am awake, I need you. I need you to take over. I just can't do this. Life is hard. But God, you are good. I pray right now that your goodness and your grace would overtake my body, my mind, my soul and spirit. I surrender my life to you. I receive forgiveness. I receive your grace, and I praise you for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that you don't give me what I deserve, but you lavish your love on me. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and if you meant it, he's going to do it. And we've got Bibles and kind of a like nice pamphlet that says, what next? How do I walk in this life? How do I walk it out? How do I live it out? And we're going to be starting a class the first of the year for new beginners or people that just say, you know, I need a 101. I need to just remind myself how to walk in his grace and in the newness of this found life.
Lord, we thank you for this time that we've had together. Oh, the power of your presence has been here, and we thank you for that. Thank you for all those things that you have blessed us with. And right now, as we go into this week, this Thanksgiving week, may our focus be on you and what your hand has provided. Thank you for your touch. Thank you most of all for salvation and the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus that is for us. Lord, may your anointing and your power be upon each and every one of us to live the life that you have called us to live, the life that is full, full of joy and peace and meaning. In the name of Jesus, we pray.